So this morning in this service, we're starting a week of fasting and prayer. And if you've never gone on a fast before, let me tell you, the name can be deceiving. If you've ever fasted, you know that there is nothing fast about it because time seems to slow down. But what seems to be slow in the natural, when you go on a fast, sometimes things happen quickly in the spiritual realm. Sometimes when we fast and pray, we don't even realize what God is doing, but He is moving and shaking and changing and setting up things. But a fast is when you go without food, either completely or partially, in order to accomplish a spiritual purpose. And this is just fasting 101 for a little bit this morning, but there are three types of fast. There's the normal fast, where you don't eat solid foods, but you drink liquids and juices and coffee and all of that stuff. This is the most common type of fast, and I wouldn't recommend this, but I know a pastor in L.A., a friend of mine, he told me that, he said, well, when I go on a fast, I try to liquefy a cheeseburger and drink it, and I don't know if that's spiritually acceptable. I don't know, but anyway, I'm not going to judge him. I'm just saying that's a little sketchy. But the first type of fast is the normal fast. People also call it a liquid fast, where you don't eat solid foods. And then there's the Daniel fast. Anybody heard of the Daniel fast? In the book of Daniel, in chapter 1 and in chapter 10, you see two different times Daniel only ate fruits, vegetables, and drank water, and God gave him strength. So that's what we call the Daniel fast, fruits, vegetables, and water. And then there's the partial fast. If you've never fasted before in your life, this is probably a good place to start for you. A partial fast is where you go without one or two meals a day, or you cut something out of your diet. For example, no sweets and no soft drinks. Some of y'all, maybe a good partial fast for you, you say, well, you can take all my food away, but don't take Facebook away. Maybe some of y'all need to turn off Facebook for a little while and break that addiction in Jesus' name. Uh-huh. And if you were on Facebook and you didn't hear that, you need to get the CD and listen to it. But let me say this to you. How you fast is up to you. Okay, I'm asking you to decide for yourself how you're going to fast this week. If you've never fasted, like I said, start small. Some of you, maybe God is calling you to go to the next level of fasting. But I want you to know this. Fasting is not about a formula or a list of dietary restrictions. A few years ago, I actually heard people arguing over what you could and couldn't eat on a Daniel fast, and listen, they missed the whole point of fasting. The purpose of fasting is not to go by a strict menu. The purpose of fasting is more about denying yourself and focusing on God. So if all you're thinking about is how hungry you are, if all you're thinking about is how much can I eat on this fast and get away with it, you're missing the whole point, okay? But I'm asking you guys to decide what type of fast you're going to do. Okay, if you're on medication, you probably don't need to do a liquid fast, all right? But whatever fast you choose, use wisdom. So that's what a fast is, but the more important question is, why? Why on earth would we go without food? It's like a man who asked the paratrooper one time, why would you jump out of a perfectly good airplane? Why in the United States of America, where there is more food than people, why on earth would we go without food? Listen, we're blessed with an abundance of food, it's true. But there's a greater blessing to be experienced when you go on a fast. And truth be told, most Americans don't eat to survive. We eat to feel good. Come on, somebody. I'm stepping on my own toes this morning. Amen. You better preach it today. Come on. Most of us, we don't eat to survive. We eat for comfort. We eat what makes us feel good. If I like it, I eat it. The problem is that we turn to food to satisfy things that only God Himself can satisfy in our lives. And fasting is a way of breaking that cycle of dependency upon food. Fasting is a way of denying the flesh to strengthen your spirit. And this morning, I'm going to give you four spiritual principles about fasting. Number one, fasting is about purpose. Somebody say purpose. It's important that when you fast, you have a specific purpose in mind. Okay? I have the privilege of serving on the credential committee for the Assemblies of God here in North Carolina. And one of the first things that we teach to young men and young women who want to go into ministry, we teach them you have to have a divine sense of calling on your life. Because when you go into ministry, you're going to have opposition. Circumstances are going to come against you. People are going to come against you. And when that happens, you better know that your life has a purpose and a destiny and a plan, and that this is what God has called you to do. Because adversity will come, and fasting is a lot like ministry. Because when you're fasting, you better know why you are fasting and what the purpose is and what God is calling you to pray for, because adversity will come. Fasting is not easy. You have to be focused on the purpose of the fast. The Bible is full of examples of men and women who fasted for a purpose. Moses fasted because he needed a word from God. The Bible says that he fasted 40 days, and after the end of that 40 days, God gave him the Ten Commandments. Solomon, the Bible, prayed and he fasted because he needed guidance and wisdom from God. At the end of that season of fasting, God increased his wisdom and his wealth. Joseph fasted while he was in prison because he needed to be set free. And out of that fast, God promoted him from the prison to the palace. He rose to a position of great power and influence. There was a young teenage girl by the name of Esther who called for a nationwide fast of the people of God because a guy named Haman was trying to destroy them. And at the end of those 3 days of fasting and prayer, God had completely turned that situation around for their favor. I could go on and on and on, talk about Jehoshaphat and Hannah and Elijah and Daniel. We know that Jesus fasted and prayed because that's our main scripture this morning. He fasted and prayed before he began his ministry. Saul had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and when that happened, Saul went into a fast, and it was through that season of fasting and prayer that God began to transform him into the Apostle Paul. Peter was fasting and praying on a rooftop one day when God gave him a vision and called him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. There are example after example in the Bible of the power of fasting and prayer. But let me tell you something. Fasting and praying is just as powerful today as it was then. Can anybody testify to that this morning? I think about James Dobson. James Dobson went on a season of fasting and prayer, and at the end of that season of fasting and prayer, God called him to start focus on the family. Bill Bright fasted and prayed for 40 days, and at the end of that fast, God called him to start Campus Crusade for Christ. Amber and I have seen that in our own life. We knew that God was calling us and shifting us and leading us to a new season. So we fasted and we prayed. And at the end of that season of fasting and prayer, we got a call from somebody in Goldsboro, North Carolina. Listen, things happen when you make up your mind, I'm going to fast and pray and seek God. So remember, fasting is not something you try. It's something that you do with a purpose and with a goal in mind. So why are we fasting as a church? Let me tell you why we're fasting as a church, because God is calling us to make an impact in our community in 2016. And this week we're fasting and praying that God would open up doors, and most of all that God would prepare us for the things that he's calling us to do. Has God ever spoken something to you and it scared you a little bit? Did it make you a little bit nervous? Am I the only one? Let me tell you something. In the fall of 2015, I was praying and just seeking God, and God began to speak some things to me that he wants to do in our church and some changes and some different approaches. And I'll be honest with you, it scared me. I was intimidated, and that was just confirmation. This is God speaking to my heart. Because listen, God, if your destiny doesn't require a miracle, it's not God's destiny for your life. Because God will always put us in a position where we have to depend upon him. And that's where I see us right now as a church. God is calling us to do some big things. And I'm going to be sharing some details next Sunday. We're going to have a Vision Sunday here and talk about it. But we need to prepare and make sure that our hearts are ready. Like God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, I do a new thing. Will you not know it?" See, we have to be spiritually in tune to recognize when God is doing a new thing in our midst. Amen? So we're fasting and praying as a church this week because we want to be ready for what God is calling us to do this year in our city. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to start invading enemy territory and claiming souls for the kingdom of God. I want to see more people saved, more people healed. I want to see more marriages restored. I want to see more young men and women going into ministry. I want to see more children coming to Christ. I want to see more parents living for Jesus. I want to see more addictions broken in Jesus' name. We're fasting to get ready for what God is getting ready to do. So fasting is about purpose, and you have to stay focused on the reason for your fast. Because when you fast, temptation will come. You'll find a coupon to McDonald's that expires tomorrow night. The devil will send a raven to drop a Big Mac right in your hand as you're walking to your car in the morning. Come on. There's going to be a birthday party at your office, and they're going to make your favorite flavor of cake with your favorite kind of icing and your favorite kind of candles and your favorite kind of plates and napkins. Krispy Kreme is going to explode while you're driving down Ash Street, and your car is going to get covered in hot glazed donuts. Y'all don't believe me. It happened to Jesus. We just read it. Jesus was led into the wilderness to fast, and the first thing the devil said is, "Why don't you make some bread?" Jesus was hungry, and the devil was trying to tempt him with the very thing that his body wanted. He wanted to eat some bread. So temptation will come. Stay on purpose. Come on, tell somebody, stay on purpose. If you keep a firm grip on the reason why you're fasting, God will give you grace and he'll help you resist the temptation. Some of y'all are going to be rebuking Krispy Kreme this week. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to mankind. And God is faithful." Tell somebody God is faithful. This is what the Bible says. "He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way of escape so that you can endure it." Amen. Fasting is about purpose. We're going to impact our city in 2016. We're going to break barriers in Jesus' name. And that's why we're fasting as a church. But I encourage you to have a personal purpose as well. For your fast, there are things that you need in your life. There are things that you desperately need that only God can do. And I challenge you to write those things down and keep them in front of you this week as you fast and pray. So number one, fasting is about purpose. Number two, fasting is about pursuit. Fasting is about pursuing God. And I want you to know, fasting is not a commandment. I'm not forcing you to fast this morning, okay? Fasting is not a commandment. It's something that we willingly choose to do. Fasting is a decision. I am pursuing God. You see, fasting in the Old Testament was mandatory. I think about the Day of Atonement in Leviticus chapter 23. This was when the annual sacrifice for sins was made, and God commanded that when you go and bring your sacrifice to the Lord, you are to fast and pray. Now, we are not under the law, we're under grace, and as Christians, we're not forced to fast, we're not commanded to fast, but we ought to fast. When we fast, we don't do it out of obligation. We don't do it because we have to. We do it because we choose to. Fasting is saying, "God, I'm hungry and my body wants food, but my spirit wants you more." James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Fasting is about pushing away the plate and drawing closer to Jesus. And here's the thing about pursuit. When you pursue something, that means you leave the place where you are. I want you to think about that for a minute. When you're in pursuit, you leave where you are to chase after that thing that you're pursuing. Some of you are not in a good place right now. Spiritually speaking, you're not where you want to be, and you're not where you ought to be. I'm going to just prophesy to you this morning for a minute. This week, when you're fasting, I believe that some of you are going to get out of that place where you are, that place of complacency, that place of bondage, that place of sin, that place of confusion. When you begin to fast and pray, some of you are going to just shake yourself and say, this is not where I belong. I'm leaving this and I'm pursuing God. I'm chasing after Jesus. I'm pursuing after the one who's pursuing me. Fasting is about pursuit. It's about leaving where you are to chase after God. You know, medical science actually recommends periodically fasting because there are health benefits when you fast. You see, when you fast for a period of time, your body is actually cleansing itself of toxins that are in your system. And it's not a coincidence that God called the people of old to fast and pray. Because what happens in the natural mirrors what's going on in the spiritual realm. Okay? So when you fast, your body is getting the trash out. Come on, tell somebody, get the trash out. And what happens in your body mirrors what's going on in the spiritual realm because seasons of fasting and prayer help you get your sensitivity back to the things of God. If we're not careful, it's easy to become dull and desensitized to the things of this world because there is trash all around us. We're bombarded with it on TV, on the internet, in today's music. If I go into a store one more time and have to listen to profanity and vulgarity, I think I'm just going to lose my mind. But we are surrounded with garbage. You can't even watch a soup commercial anymore without seeing garbage. Fasting is making us aware of those things that please God and those things that break His heart. When you fast and pray, you become sensitive to the things of God in your life. If you've become desensitized and comfortable with sin, it's time to get alone with God this week when you pray. Fasting and prayer can help break the power of addiction in your life. Fasting and prayer can break the power of pornography. Fasting and prayer can break the power of alcohol off of your life. Fasting and prayer can break the stronghold of nicotine from your life. Fasting and prayer gets the trash out. You see, sin will clog up the spiritual pipeline of God's blessing, but prayer and fasting is like spiritual Drano. It unclogs the flow of living water in our souls. As we pursue God this week, not only will we be chasing after Him, but we're going to be leaving some stuff behind too. Number one, fasting is about purpose. Number two, fasting is about pursuit. Number three, fasting is about prayer. Tell somebody you got to pray. All right? You can pray without fasting, but you cannot fast without praying because they go hand in hand. A fast without prayer is nothing more than a diet, okay? And I'll be honest with you, I love to pray. Prayer is one of the greatest things about being a child of God. Prayer is our lifeline to heaven. I thank God for the prayers of His people. But even though I love to pray, and even though I'm here today because of prayer, prayer is not always easy to do. I think about it just about 3 months ago. I came out here early one morning because I was going to pray before we started our work day, and I was sitting here praying, and as soon as I started to pray, I started looking up and finding all the lights that had burned out in the ceiling. And as soon as I started to pray, I started noticing, wait, there's some paper over there. I need to go get that. It feels kind of cold over on that side. Maybe we need to get the air conditioning looked at. And it seems like every time I tried to pray, I'd get distracted constantly. And let me tell you something, it's a whole lot worse when you're hungry. Listen, I only have two emotions, happy and hungry. If I'm not happy, give me a sandwich and I'll get there soon enough, okay? But it is hard when you're hungry, when you're on edge, a little bit irritable because you haven't eaten. Let me tell you something, you're going to be distracted. But prayer takes discipline. Listen, even Jesus' disciples got distracted sometimes. When Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, pouring out his heart and soul to God. And he looked over there and his disciples were asleep. He woke them up, not once, not twice, but three different times. Jesus said, "Y'all need to pray with me," and three times they fell asleep. He said, "Could you not tarry 1 hour?" Listen, be prepared. Distractions will come. Remember that fasting is about purpose, pursuit, and it's about prayer. And last of all, fasting is about power. Fasting is about power. I want you to think about what we read this morning in Matthew chapter 4. Fasting is important enough that Jesus fasted before he ever preached a single sermon, before he ever performed a single miracle. I want you to think about that. Jesus had been on the earth 30 years. After 30 years, he was finally getting ready to do what he came to the earth to do. Now, if that was you or me, we probably would have just hit the ground running immediately. But when Jesus knew that his appointed time had come, instead of rushing into it, he slowed down so he could go fast. Instead of rushing in the natural, instead of rushing into what God had called him to do, Jesus understood the importance of slowing down, doing a spiritual timeout, and taking a season of fasting and prayer. Some of you in 2016, you're going to start some important things, whether that be a relationship or a business or a ministry. I don't know what it is, but some of you are on the threshold of a major decision in your life, and I want to challenge you before you start something. Start it the way Jesus started his ministry. Because Jesus said, wait a minute, before I do anything, I'm going to slow down and I'm going to fast and pray. Slow down and go fast. Fasting is important enough, powerful enough that Jesus fasted before he began his ministry, but it's also powerful enough that the enemy tried everything he could to stop Jesus and distract him from the fast. Why? Because fasting puts you in direct contact with the power of God. If you have never experienced the power and the presence of God, I dare you to fast and pray for a little while and see what happens in your life. Because there is power in fasting and prayer. There's another passage of Scripture, I'm almost finished, in Matthew 17. Jesus goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John go with him, and they watch Jesus transfigured on the mountain before them. A powerful encounter in the presence of God. And then they come down off of the mountain, and the rest of the disciples are sitting there arguing with the Pharisees. Why? Because they wanted to cast a devil out of a boy, but nothing they did worked. So the Pharisees started arguing with him, saying, you can't do that. Jesus came down, and Jesus told them why they couldn't do it. He said, some things can only be accomplished through fasting and prayer. When you deny your hunger for food and you focus on your hunger for God, you are tapping into the power of heaven. I think about a time when the people of Israel were fasting and the enemy attacked them and God gave them a victory. I'm not talking about 4,000 years ago. I'm talking about 1973. It was on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. In 1973, when the armies of Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, all three joined forces to attack Israel and wipe them off the face of the map. What they didn't know is that all of Israel had been fasting and praying and repenting of sin for 24 hours. Some Israeli soldiers literally went out of the synagogue and went to the front lines of battle, having eaten nothing for hours. For 3 days, it looked like Egypt, Syria, and Jordan were going to conquer and destroy Israel. But on the third day, even though they were severely outnumbered, Israel's army advanced on the enemy. Not only did they win the battle, but they ended up with more territory than they had before. You don't believe me? Read the history books. Listen, God's word is true to this day. The same God of the Bible is the same God today. Fasting and prayer accomplished miraculous things in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and it still works today. So I want you to get ready. Don't get caught off guard when God shows up and moves in your life during this season of fasting and prayer. Fasting is about purpose. It's about pursuing God, it's about prayer, and it's about power. Before we leave this morning, let me tell you about the greatest power there is. There is power in the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus, the Lamb of God, came to take away the sins of the whole world. I came here this morning to tell you that God loves you. He loves you, He created you, He cares about you, and He has a purpose for your life. How much did God love you? Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I talked about the purpose of Jesus coming. You want to know why Jesus came? He came because of you. Jesus came to wash your sins away. The bad news is that we can't cleanse ourselves of sin. Even in the old covenant, even in the Old Testament, people had to offer sacrifices for their sins. We can't cleanse ourselves of sin. Only God can do that. And that's why He sent Jesus to pay the ultimate price to save you from sin and to set you free. The wonderful thing about Jesus is that He'll take anybody who's willing to come. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about your past. He doesn't care about what you've done, who your mama is, where you've been, who you've been running with, where you slept last night, how you came in this morning. It doesn't matter to Jesus. All you have to do is come. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come and drink freely of the water of life. Jesus says, I don't care what condition you come, I just want you to come. So many times we think that we have to get ourselves straight before we come to God. Listen, if you clean up yourself, if you're waiting to get yourself right, you'll never come. Jesus said, come to me just the way you are. Don't you worry about how you're living. Don't you worry about those things that have bound you. You just come to me and I'll set you free. And I'll cleanse you of sin. I'll deliver you. I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. Anybody ever heard somebody say on TV, don't try this at home? Don't try this on your own. Jesus says, salvation is mine. Don't try it on your own. You come to me and I'll do the saving. you're here this morning, it's just as simple as this, just saying, Jesus, I come to you just the way I am. I give you my life. Jesus, take my life and you fix it. If you haven't made that decision, I want to encourage you to make it right now. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to help you start your journey of faith in God. In fact, let's all pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Jesus, I come to you now just the way I am. All my sin, all my failures, all my mistakes, Lord, I come to you just the way I am. And I surrender my life to you. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And Lord, with your help, I'm going to live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen.